It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
We've got 27 days until Astros opening day. Fran Brevalda's first spring training start. It's over. He allowed 7 of the 11 batters he faced to reach base. CJ Abrams had 2 hits against him, including a leadoff Oppo Taco home run. Valdez walked the batter, hit another, and allowed 5 hits.
What is an Oppo Taco home run?
You say Oppo Taco?
Opposite field home run.
Yeah.
Why'd you say Oppo Taco?
You don't say Oppo Taco?
Yeah, that's a fun way to say it.
Yeah. You never heard
that? There's 162 baseball games, Paul. Yeah, we have to have fun ways to say things.
Well, I was wondering if it was a thing.
I think it is a thing, right?
It's a thing.
Now I'm questioning myself.
No, you hate it. Don't worry.
Okay. I never heard it before. What? I'm just asking.
Yeah, baseball Paul hasn't heard about it because he's normally listened to the radio. He has his ear next to the radio.
If I even watch or listen to the game. Correct. Yes.
My favorite part about working at the flagship at times was when we have a delay in radio, right? If you don't know that. So for games, we would turn the delay off. And then at one point, we were not allowed to do so anymore. And then all of a sudden, all these old people started calling the radio station every day saying, I bring my radio to the game here, and now it's not synced up anymore. They actually call us to complain.
It is actually annoying. I mean, I do that at Texans games, and they don't.
You listen to the radio while you're...
While I'm at NRG Stadium? Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear anyone talk to me. I want everyone... No one talk to me, ever. If I'm watching a football game, I don't like to be spoken to. No, I'm not kidding. Like, any other sport, I don't care. Football games, I want to be focused, and I want to know what's going on. So, yeah, it is a little annoying. You used to be able to do it with the AM signal. It actually, in the studio, would or in the stadium, it would work, but now it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore.
Cell phones, yeah.
All right, so we have 27 days until opening day. Fran Brevaldez will be on the mound, most likely, because Justin Verlander won't be there. But we were going over this MLB.com article interview with Dana Brown a little bit yesterday. Dana Brown was also asked in the interview what his biggest concern was right now. And he wanted to talk about the middle of the bullpen. He acknowledges the fact that they're very good on the back end with Abreu, Presley, and Josh Hader. But they lost, you know, Hector Neris, Ryan Stanek, and Phil Maton. So Dana Brown's biggest concern is the middle of the bullpen. So our opening day countdown question is, what's your biggest concern right now? With opening day 27 days away, what's numero uno?
Well, I don't know if middle of the bullpen's my numero uno, mainly because I just never want to see the middle of the bullpen because that means Rafael New Money Montero. I saw an article, by the way, this week in the Houston Chronicle, and the title was Astros Hope Reliever Rafael Montero is set up for a rebound.
Yikes.
And I would just say, a rebound to what? The 1 year he was ever good? Because he sucked in Seattle. But whatever, that's fine. Anything can happen. As Kevin Garnett once said, anything is possible. No, I'm going back to what we opened up the show talking about. No, my biggest concern is Fromber. My biggest concern is Fromber, Valdez, and Christian Javier at the top of the rotation in a world without Martin Maldonado. And look, Maldonado, it was not his best year last year. I will grant you that, especially at the plate, but also behind the plate. I do not know that these guys are going to be the guys that they were the year before. And they need to be if this team's going to win a World Series, because this team won in 2022 because of its pitching. It did not win because of its offense. It had a good offense, don't get me wrong, but they won because of pitching. So those guys need to return to form, and it's going to be perhaps a little bit more difficult with Yiner Diaz calling things, Victor Caratini calling things. And on top of that, now Fromber Valdez seemingly experimenting with a pitch clock, and it did not go so well today.
Yeah, I think that's it's obviously a very fair one. I still have enough faith, I would say, in Fromber and JV and Javier to get you through the regular season. So my biggest concern is the rest of your starting rotation after those three guys.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is JP France? What is Jose Urquidy? Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia? Can any of them make a meaningful impact on the team this year? So that way, if Fromber struggles during the season or Justin Verlander gets hurt, because he probably will miss some time this year at some point again, besides just the beginning of the year, and Christian Javier, like, just like, I feels like it's such a question mark about what you're going to get from 4 and 5. Because even the idea of Luis Garcia coming back at some point in the season, it sounds good, but it's still, he's coming off Tommy John. You never know.
Urquidy did have that awesome game 4 against the Twins.
He feels like, I feel more confident. So weird. I feel so much more confident in Jose Urquidy in a playoff game than I ever will in a regular season game.
Well, he's been there a lot. I know.
Like, he comes through. He comes through all the time
playoff
in the
Jose.
Postseason. Like, I'm all about that. 8188409 Colin says, my biggest concern is Jake Myers. Wish we'd go get a corner outfielder and play Chaz in center field.
Or you can play Chaz in left and play Mauricio Dubon in center. But
my guess is Colin would follow that up with, because he's also probably referencing the fact that Jordan's going to play left field a lot.
Yep.
Which, that should be up there. Like, I really don't love that.
I don't either. I think he should be the designated hitter. And if there are certain games where you put him in left field, fine. Every day, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I like having a little flexibility at designated hitter. And, okay, Mauricio Dubon can still be your super utility guy. Like, you don't have to play him in center field every game, but I think he should be getting more of an opportunity opening day than Jake Myers. He played better than Myers last year.
Do you think that maybe it'll just be Jordan will play and left at home every game, and he'll DH a lot on the road?
That would make sense.
Like, if they were going to have him play over 50 games in left field, I just hope every single one of them is at Minute Maid Park. That'd make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I feel a little better about that, but I mean, still, I don't know. I'm always nervous with that guy moving.
My question would be, if Jordan is playing left field, then who is DHing?
That's a good question.
Because then if it's Chaz McCormick, it's like, well, just have him play left and DH Jordan. Like, I don't know who, you know, in years past, it could be Michael Brantley. You could have someone else in that spot. Yiner Diaz would DH a lot. So in the situation where Jordan is in the field, who is DHing? And then why can't that person play in the field and Jordan DH?
My guess is that it's going to be a real mixed bag this year.
Just it's like a half day off almost.
Yeah, like you'll see, they talked about this with Jose Abreu, that giving him more time so Victor Caratini can catch and play first. I think you'll see Caratini, Abreu, Yiner, Jordan, and I would be pro, like, you just signed this guy to a long-term contract, which is going to be 39 years old when it ends. I would be plenty fine for a couple days, a day a week, that Jose Altuve is your DH and Mauricio Dubon's at second base.
I'd begin with that, too.
It's like, there's a lot they can do with
that. And that's probably what they're thinking. I imagine that's what's in the back of their mind as far as the way that they're handling Dubon right now, is that, okay, we're going to move guys around a lot. We're going to give lots of off days through designated hitter as opposed to just off day, a complete off day.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more Jose Abreu, honestly. I don't know why. I don't know.
How do you feel about him right now? I feel pretty good about him.
I feel good. I kind of believe the back stuff.
Like, yeah, that's where I'm at, too, where I think if you feel good about him, your thought process is that he got healthy after, July or whatever, and that's when he started actually playing like Jose Abreu again.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about Jose Abreu. How about you?
I mean, I believe in Pilates. Mm. I believe in Pilates instructors. And Jose Abreu. Jordan should do some, and so should Jose Altuve, seeing as they missed time with the oblique injuries. Jose Abreu has been doing Pilates.
Mm.
And you know what stabilizes your back? Your abdominals. You know what you can work out super hard if you go to Pilates class? Your abs.
Mm.
So, as someone who believes in Pilates, and really believes in Pilates instructors, but also believes in Jose Abreu because of what he did in the playoffs, I'm feeling pretty good about Jose Abreu right now. What? Why are you guys laughing?
Didn't know, Paul believes in Pilates instructors.
I believe in Pilates instructors.
Are you running for a very specific type of office where you have to?
No, I'm looking for a very specific type of wife. Come on.
Is that where you go? Is that where your date's from tonight?
We'll see if the date's still happening.
Oh no.
Well, I mean, I had a feeling going into tonight. She's the absolute worst texter. She admits it at least, but she's the absolute worst texter. I'm pretty sure it's not happening. Stop laughing, you ass. Don't laugh at my misfortune. I've had a rough week.
Misfortune. Huh?
So here's my question. If you're not sure it's going to happen and she's a bad texter, are you still going to go potentially get ghosted?
Great question. I'm definitely not going to go. No, I've done that before. I've done that before once.
But what if she goes and then you end up being the ghoster?
No, she won't go. Like, we are still trying to establish firm plans. We have carved out Friday night.
I think the situation is either she texts back and says, yep, sounds good, or doesn't text back and take that as a no.
Yes.
Exactly. That's fair.
Yeah, we have a history. Text, don't go.
So this is, well, yeah, I'm not going to go. Don't worry.
No, don't, Paul, don't go.
I'm not going to go. I'm not going
to
go.
Do you want me to go with you?
She's not a Pilates instructor. So if you're listening right now, maybe you got to work on that.
Do you Pilates often, Paul?
I've done it twice.
Okay.
I've done it twice ever.
I've never done it ever.
It is an interesting workout.
I think the weirdest workout thing I've ever tried was I got suckered into doing hot yoga one time.
Oh, that sounds miserable.
Yeah. It was the worst.
I'm out on yoga.
Dumbest thing I've ever done.
Remember P90X?
Yes.
My dad was into P90X when that was a thing, and I did it with him a few times. Resistance band training.
Yeah.
I did yoga once. It was on a first date with a person that wanted to be in a monogamous open relationship where she got to be in the open relationship, but I didn't necessarily get to. And I was like, oh, for the bit, this is hilarious. So I went on the date.
Was this in Seattle?
No, this was in Houston. No. That's an upset. So
Vegas
anyway.
Vegas had Seattle.
Well, I mean, what would you do if you found out that this person, goes, and when she travels around the world, she goes to the strip club or the pole dancing classes at wherever town, country she goes to. So this person, very attractive, basically got in front of me. So that was at least nice, but I had no idea what I was doing. And my knees hurt. What? Sorry, I'm a pervert.
Joe, this is the kind of stories you hear when you work with
Paul. Just still like this girl that like monogamous but open relationship.
The monogamous open relationship was the funniest thing ever.
That would blow my mind.
Because I just kept on pressing. I was like,
no, I thought for a second you were going to say you were the open part of the relationship.
No. I couldn't do that. I know I couldn't.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
I want to do it, but like, no. Like, even if I'm talking to multiple people, I'm like, oh my God, they're all going to find out because I overthink everything.
It's true. Sean, have you ever been in an open monogamous relationship?
No, I haven't. No, I've only been in closed monogamous relationships.
Oh, wow.
It's good to know.
Otherwise known as relationships.
A regular relationship.
Same,
yeah.
Sean. Same.
Good all answer. Right.
Before the college football playoff, the new one can even start, they want to change the whole damn thing. We'll talk about it next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
You know, college football and the people who run it oftentimes are stupid. You guys know this. Last year, they decided they were going to try to make the game faster.
Yeah.
This year, Brett McMurphy reported this 2 hours ago. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to add in 2-minute warnings now. So they're going to add in more commercial breaks.
That's really all because exactly what you said.
This is so dumb.
More commercial breaks.
Yeah, and they can come out and they say, "Hey, listen, we're putting the radios in helmets. Boom, win.
Yeah.
We're allowing for tablets on the sideline. Cool, sounds good. Also, we're starting a 2-minute warning. Wait, what was that last one?"
Exactly. Like they try to make it seem positive. And then we all know, so the college football playoff is starting next year, the 12-team playoff. It's going to be the 5 top conference winners plus 7 automatic qualifiers. But before the first one even happens, they're already talking about expanding it to 14 teams, in which the Big Ten would get 3 automatic qualifiers, the SEC would get 3 automatic qualifiers, the ACC and the Big 12 would get 2. So that's 3, 6, 10 teams. And then the next 4, I guess, would be...
There's 2 at-larges.
There's 2 at-larges?
Yeah.
This whole thing is stupid.
Well,
let's see if the 12 team works.
12
first.
Was fine. That's what I'm wondering about. Do we really need to see teams 13 and 14? Hell, do we even really need to see, let's be honest, teams 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12? I think 6 would be fine. 2 teams get byes. Top 6 teams in. If we go to 12, we're going to go already to 14. We will be at 16 in minutes. We are so close to just being like, let's just add an entire college football playoff that takes up the entire month of January.
That feels like where we're headed, for sure. And that's part of the reason why I'm like, we'll just make the jump to 16 right away.
Yes.
But I guess they want to follow the NFL model, which is the top two teams get a bye and no one else does, and then you just follow the exact same format as the NFL. Honestly, like I get why they're doing it, because like it's just more and more money. But at some point, these kids are going to go from playing 10 games to 18 games in a season.
And then the ones that are going to make the pros, do you want to play in all these games? Do you look at your actual chances in the college football playoff and think to yourself, man, I want to play here for my teammates and might get held against me, but at the same time, I actually want to get drafted in the first round or something like that? Business decisions will be more a part of it the bigger the playoffs get. And isn't that what everybody already hates about college football? Like how a lot of the players have gotten to a point now, if they're good enough, where they're like, look, I want to make money. Sorry. And you know, if you're their teammate, you actually might understand that. Someone who's has a chance to play at the next level. But this is only going to make things worse. And it's funny. I mean, of course they add a two-minute warning in to stuff more commercials down our throats, which we already have more of. They sped up the game so that they could put in more commercials. These games are still 4.5 hours long.
Yeah, they sped up the game to speed up the game, and then they added more commercials and completely nullified all of like the ideas that they had just implemented.
Yeah, they lowered the number of plays that happen, essentially, by running the clock longer. Like, that was always the thing with the pitch clock in baseball, is that like they weren't actually subtracting from the actual game that happens, like the plays in the game. You got the same amount of plays in the game, just in less time. The college football rule change was you were actually getting less plays.
Yes.
And like I don't know why they really feel the need to do this. To me, it's still, even the idea of giving these conferences two automatic qualifiers, I think it's stupid. Yeah. Like or giving three to the SEC and the Big Ten. I know that, and everyone, because the problem is that everyone's using the data points from the last couple of years as like, well, the SEC and the Big Ten would have already had 10 of these spots anyways or whatever, because they're using the new conferences, but they're not like the Pac-12 still existed last year. So they're not really doing the math in the way that they should. But like, I don't need, this year is a good example. So Florida State obviously would have got in as the top ACC team. The next ACC team is Louisville. They were the 19th ranked team in the country. Like, why does that team deserve an automatic qualifier into the playoffs?
I don't agree with it at all. And if you expand, more bad teams will get in. You'll have more bad games. Do you want to see the bad games? Do you look, college football playoff, for the most part, has been good, but you do get lots of slaughters with four teams.
Exactly. And like, I would be, if they just did the 14 teams straight up, I think I'd be more okay with it. But maybe it's because who's 14? But the idea that Notre Dame, the 14th team in the country last year, would have missed the playoffs because, now this is at the end of the season rankings, because Louisville, who was five spots behind them, automatically gets in, that to me is stupid.
I agree.
That's dumb. The automatic qualifiers, and part of the reason I can't really see this happening, other than how mind-numbingly stupid it is, but that has never stopped anyone before, is the fact that it doesn't super benefit the Big Ten and SEC, because like you're saying, the extra team that gets in for, you know, the Big 12 would not get in the 12-team format.
Exactly.
It would get replaced by the, you know, fourth best SEC team, who would be better than the second place ACC team.
I think that's why I hate it already, because like they created the 4-team college football playoff, and then the Pac-12 was complaining because they always got left out, or the Big 12 was complaining because they got left out. You idiots chose to make a 4-team playoff, and then now, as soon as this happened, you're right. As soon as this happens, the Big Ten's fifth or sixth team is going to get left out of the playoffs for Liberty or the number 22 ranked team in the country.
Yeah.
Now, look, it's great for the Cougs. All you got to do is be second in the Big 12 and you're in the playoffs. Congratulations.
Four-loss NC State is going to get in, is going to get in 1 year, and then the entire state of Alabama is going to be like, what the hell
this is
this?
So stupid.
Is it possible for them to get it right? I mean, the NCAA, obviously, we all think they're not the most competent, but is it possible in a sport where it really does feel like a bunch of warring factions as opposed to one single body like the NFL?
Is it possible for everyone to get on the same page and for everybody to be happy? Because I think eventually what we're going to see, Joe, is we're going to see one conference that's ESPN and another conference that is Fox. Mm-hmm. And it'll be like the AFC and NFC on Fox and CBS, respectively. So I feel like right now it's impossible for them to make everybody happy. And I guess this is their attempt to try and do it, expanding it. But again, it's making the product worse.
Well, it's because you mentioned, like, we don't have...
They don't have a commissioner.
Yeah, or just like the NCAA doesn't make the rules here.
Yeah.
The CFP, the College Football Playoff, is not an NCAA award. They don't actually run the tournament. They don't. That's why it's not that piece of wood with an NCAA logo in the middle. They've never given out a college football like trophy before. It's the College Football Playoff, which is made up by the leaders or the commissioners of the different conferences and different people around college football like that. So it isn't the reason it seems like there's not one force driving the way, or that like the NCAA isn't being decisive, is because the NCAA is not making decisions. It is actually different commissioners, conference commissioners actually making the rules.
Yeah, I think like it's in, you're right, Paul. Until it's one conference and or two big conferences and they have a commissioner and they completely remove themselves from the equation of the NCAA, it's always going to be like this. And I think you're right. It's going to eventually be like 64 teams. The only schools that will participate will be the ones that can pay players, you know, straight up. So that's where, you know, Vanderbilt will leave, Northwestern will leave. I'm fascinated, like, if the Cougs would survive something like that. But it'll be what everything the XFL wants to be, this league will become. And they will be run on ESPN, Fox, and even then, like, they won't get it right, but it'll be better.
Well, yeah, because you have to, like, when they make college football players employees, they'll immediately have the weakest union in sports.
Seriously. Like, just because of the sheer volume of players.
Yeah, and just you're talking about 18 to 20 year olds.
And they'll never have a chance to really get on the same page. It's like, it's not like the NFL union where...
And the vast majority, I mean, we talked about this with the NCAA football game. The majority of them don't matter, but they're not moving the needle when it comes to like the college football playoff. Like, even on Georgia, like the backup guard doesn't care about the backup guard when they're making NIL rules.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about that.
Yeah, they're thinking about like three or four guys. To your point, though, very quickly about players potentially not playing, I think if they're intelligent, they will pay these players to play in the college football playoff. That's what I think they should do.
But I get what you're saying on that front, but we're talking about rich people. We're talking about greedy, greedy sons of bitches who are foisting two-minute drills on us so they can get more commercial time in. They're speeding up the game so they can get more commercial time in. These fat cat douchebags are not ever going to give the players the money. They never will. They will find ways around it as many times as they possibly can.
It's also how much money can they give you when you could be Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Notre Dame, playing in the Cotton Bowl, and you break your leg and go from a first-round pick to a third-round pick. Change it. That's millions of dollars. So would you have to pay every single one of these guys that are first-round picks millions of dollars to play in one extra game?
And it's going to be like four extra games. All right. We will do our next draft of the day, top action movies, and plus we'll do the 10-minute drill. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
We're ready for some football, baby. Yeah!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
10-minute drill here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul and Joe and Sean here with you till 3 o'clock. You know, Paul, I know you want to talk about this a little bit today. Caleb Williams.
Oh, my God.
He seems like he might be the worst.
This is your quarterback, Joe. How dare you say that about your quarterback?
He's even
played it down for the Chicago Bears.
I don't know if I feel good about him, to be honest with you.
Here's what Caleb Williams had to say at the NFL Combine in an interview with Tyler Dunn of the Go Long Substack.
the headline just reads this, and I don't even want to read anymore. Caleb Williams, quote, "I tend to create history and rewrite history." So,
zero national titles.
One of the lasting images of him this past season was him crying. Doesn't add up. I don't think you can say that.
Yeah.
And have the kind of season he had last year where it does seem at the very end.
Fell apart.
A lot of USC players, in addition to it falling apart, were glad he was gone. Reading between the lines. Like, there was a couple of quotes about that, like how they, I think the quarterback who stepped in for him in the bowl game said, like, yeah, we felt a lot more like a team.
The, yes. Well, I threw like six touchdowns too, which a lot of people like made a huge deal. You know, it's interesting because I was watching this video that Outkick put out from their main show, and their lead host said that part of the reason why Caleb Williams does not have an agent is, or when they took agent meetings, is that Caleb's dad was asking these agents how they could circumvent the collective bargaining agreement so Caleb Williams doesn't have to sign a rookie contract.
Yep.
And could sign a, you know, normal Patrick Mahomes contract. We had the rumors that were confirmed, not just from Florio, that they were trying to figure out if they could pursue partial ownership in a team. Honestly, this guy, Caleb's dad, feels like LeVar Ball on steroids, but on the same time, not near the microphone. The rumors are worse about Caleb's dad than they were with LeVar Ball. We just don't hear him talking.
Yeah, I would say LeVar Ball putting his foot in his mouth as much as he did made him a little bit more annoying and more of a problem. But at the same time, I get where you're coming from, and I agree in that he seems to be a problem. But I think the bigger problem is Caleb Williams is a me guy. Continuing in this article, I really hate it when any player, but specifically a quarterback, talks about it as if they're the only person on the team. Russell Wilson used to do this towards the end of his time in Seattle, talking about my legacy. Here is another quote in this article with Tyler Dunn from Caleb Williams. "This is one of those seasons, unlike any of these other seasons I've had to, where I've been so close to being either neutral or close to having a losing record. And it was so tough for me. Like I said, I'm a competitor." Dude, it's a team game. I get it. You're going on to the pros. You're going on to the show. But you got to have these guys want to play with you.
And then he's just...
That's part of the success. That's why everyone loved Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And you know, to quote Tom Brady, who recently said in some sort of like TED Talk, "If you're a me guy, F you. I don't want you on my team. I wanted to play against a me guy. And this is me guy."
I mean, he's not doing he's not giving his medicals at the combine. It's believed to be the first player ever to not do that. Between him and Marvin Harrison Jr., it is. I know that both these guys are being labeled as generational prospects, but they are just sending out major red flags. Honestly, to the point where, like, if the Bears kept Justin Fields and didn't take Caleb Williams, I'm okay with it right now. In the last, like, 48 hours, my opinion has changed so much because I'm just... This feels like the tip of the iceberg of nonsense. Now, hopefully it's like Lonzo and LaMelo Ball. And when he actually gets to the league, we realize that this was mostly daddy driven. And now that dad's out of the picture and you're in a real organization, it'll get better. But like people think like the ownership, trying to get ownership thing is not going to stop. Mecole Hardman, he's been in the news.
Me.
Reportedly, there's belief that Mecole Hardman was giving away the game plan for the New York Jets before they played the Chiefs and the Eagles.
So, if you watched Hard Knocks, Mecole Hardman did not come off great on it.
Yeah.
He did not seem like he was really bought in. I doubt he has future prospects in Kansas City or elsewhere. Maybe I'm surprised there. Being as open as he was about his frustration with the Jets afterwards, again, doesn't spell well. It means he can only play for contenders or something like that, and he's not that good of a player. But at the same time, we talk about me. The New York Jets are such a me team, and for them to point at Mecole Hardman giving away signs as an excuse for losing is very on brand
for a team that we heard Deion Dawkins described as guys who were only in it to be on Instagram. And you got Sauce Gardner, who's constantly checking his mentions, me, me, me. And you know what? Like, sometimes me, me, me is the reason that a team loses. And yeah, that game against the Chiefs that they played was close. They beat, I think, the Eagles in the other game where they supposedly were giving the signs away. I'm sorry. This is just some conspiracy theory BS from the Jets.
I mean, we shouldn't be surprised with Mecole Hardman, considering his name is literally Mecole Hardman. It's not Mecole Hardman. So, you know, he's selfish.
And, like, it's so funny. Like, the biggest conspiracy theory in the NFL now comes from, once again, a team that Aaron Rodgers is on. Like, it's just coincidence.
And also kind of a me guy.
Yeah.
Very much a me guy.
Just a little bit,
kind
Sean.
Kind of a me guy.
Speaking of rule changes, like we just talked about college football, we got some more stuff coming in the NFL, it looks like. The chain gang might be dead.
Time.
Yeah. They're going to actually use, it's called Hawkeye technology. It's a, the group who creates it is Hawkeye, but it's like the, it seems like the tennis basically, where like they're going to be able to exactly tell where the ball goes at all times, and they won't need the chain gang to tell you down and distance and all that stuff.
I will miss the drama of a chain measurement.
They'll still be there.
I think the bigger issue for them is getting the exact spot of the ball correct, and this technology does not seem like that's going to make it better.
Yeah, and they said that this year is, you know, they're not going to roll it out this year. It would potentially be 2025. But just, you know, little things. You know, there was controversy with the Eagles at one point this year because of the way Jason Kelce would move the ball as soon as he touched it. And he would move it back a yard, forward a yard, like all that stuff. It's still, there's still issues. Like, I know there's technology that's supposed to help with this, but is it really going to work in the dog pile?
Like, probably not.
Like, it's still, I know what, like, the thing will tell you, but I would rather...
You need to have a GPS on the ball. You need to have sensors in everybody's knee pads. No football players wear knee pads anymore, you've noticed. And that,
can we just keep the human element a little bit? Like, do we need technology to advance the sport this much?
You need 2 70-year-old men walking out with the chain,
spreading
it out, and then Gene Steratore staring over the top of it going first down.
And it does feel like they get it wrong still a lot, so like that's why I get why they want to change it.
It's, do you want them to maybe get it wrong with computers or maybe get it wrong with humans? which would you prefer?
I think I'd rather
humans.
The humans get wrong.
Yeah, no, I think humans. That's where it all. That's the same thing with baseball. The baseball umpires. And the automated strike zone.
No.
Like, well, if the automated strike zone isn't going to be perfect, just keep Angel Hernandez back there.
I mean, I have said before that the ump show makes regular season baseball a little bit more entertaining, but I suppose now thinking about this, I think that the BCS was better than the college football playoff, which is determined by a system as opposed to by people.
People run the BCS like formula still.
And it's, yeah, but it's...
No, it is basically the same as the college football playoff.
Gotcha, okay.
And that proves...
there we go.
Humans versus computers, you're both going to have issues with it. It's just, how would you like the issues to be?
I would have been fine if they kept the BCS model, but just expanded the playoffs to more than two teams.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. If they did a four-team BCS system, it would not be that different from the college football playoff, like the 10 college football playoffs that we've gotten with four teams.
And the other rule change you're talking about, they're talking about a discussion. They're having a discussion about changing the way they call intentional grounding.
Yeah, I hate this. I think quarterbacks are babied enough as it is. This is supposed to help protect quarterbacks. I guess that there were something like 50 to 60 intentional groundings called over the course of the regular season. And the difference would be that you just have to, instead of doing it outside of the pocket, throwing the ball away, you can throw the football away anywhere as long as it goes past the line of scrimmage. I don't like that. I feel like if somebody is clearly like just trying to get the ball out, get out of the pocket and then do it. Doing it from the pocket, I feel like is unfair.
Is it really that different than how it is now? Like, I know it's 60 times, right? That's such a small percentage of plays.
I agree.
There's 60 plays on one side of the ball in a game.
Right.
Like, that seems... probably every game, honestly.
No, a quarterback throws it, like, 30 to 40 times a game.
Yeah, that seems such a marginal rule change.
And if you think about it, or maybe this is anecdotal, but I feel like most of the ones that get called are guys that are out of the pocket and they're getting dragged down because everyone now does the thing like Mahomes does where as they're getting dragged down, they try to like push past it to someone and it always ends in disaster because guess what? You're not Mahomes. And it like doesn't get to the line of scrimmage and it's a intentional grounding anyway. So not many guys are staying in the pocket. Very, very often when they're grounding.
Yeah, this seems like a necessary rule change. The other one we didn't talk about earlier this week, but it was in here, was the hip drop tackle.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. I still have no idea what that is. Everyone's like, oh, it's a big deal. Specifically Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk. Man. I'm like, eh, whatever, man. Tackle somebody. Look, injuries are going to happen. You can't prevent them all. It's a violent game. And the more random rules that you put in there, you make it more difficult for defenders. And I believe that defenders' lives matter just as much as offensive players. And it's every single year, like tie another hand, arm, leg behind a defender's back. It's BS. At this moment in time, there's so many rules in the favor of the offense. What point are we going to just go to flag football?
It's just, what are they supposed to do? Like, you want to prevent concussions. And then it's the conversation. And then it's the hip drop tackle. There was stuff this year about just like going low on guys, like right as they catch the ball. What else are they supposed to do?
I don't know.
Like you have to pick and choose. And the NFL players, they say this on TV all the time, whether it's during a game or ESPN, whatever. Most former wide receivers have always said they would rather get hit in the head than get hit in the knee. And I know that when they're 60 and 70 years old and they have CTE and dementia, like they probably would feel differently. But at the same time, this is how they make millions of dollars right now. And if you continue to take out their kneecaps, it's going to become a problem. Like, I don't know what the solution is, honestly. They're making the game too hard.
I think the worst part, too, is now that Joe's slow motion replay has been added as well. And a lot of people are of the belief that when you're out there, it's like the Matrix. And look, I played at a very low level of high school football in Florida, but I mean, there's a lot of decisions that you make like 2 yards away from a collision or an impact, and you can't control your entire body when you're throwing yourself at somebody else.
And it's just like, I just need to get this guy to the ground.
Exactly. Sometimes it's sheer physics.
I just need to tackle this guy. How can I tackle this guy?
You're a defensive back trying to tackle a tight end. I mean, like, oh, so there's another way where you're not supposed to tackle him? Well, I mean, he's just gonna go off to the house, I guess.
100%. And that's where, like Josh Allen, like that should be the first thing that they attack this offseason, is the garbage that he's pulling, that he's doing the fake slide.
That one fake slide.
Like, kill him, then. Like drop your head, and if he slides, he slides. He'll never do it again. Like, because what are you supposed to do? Like, you can't hit him if he slides, but then he's going to fake it like that? Like, just run him over.
Wasn't as egregious as Kenny Pickett.
I'm sorry. Jeremy Branham's right. Like, hit these guys in the head.
I was about to reference Jeremy Branham. I'm not going as far as Branham.
I do not condone what Branham and George are saying.
Just hit him.
But I do think that teams overestimate or maybe underestimate the, like, mental effect that a simple 15-yard penalty in the first quarter will have on the quarterback for the rest of the game.
Like, you don't want Josh Allen to fake slide? Okay.
Just pop him. The first time
he runs...
Go
Sean Taylor in the Pro Bowl game.
Yeah, the first time he runs, just if he slides and it's... Or especially, like, the late slide where they just kind of drop down at the last second. Just, like, just the first one... Don't worry about it. Just hit them anyway.
Oh, they get away with so much nonsense.
We did, like, just turn into full Jeremy Branham.
We did, but you know what? I'm on the side.
Yeah, when he's right, he's right.
He's right, he's right. Jeremy Branham, latest mock draft out on Twitter. Troll. That's all I'm gonna say.
I liked him.
He's such a troll. I love him. He's such a troll. Yeah. Latest on Nico Collins and Saquon Barkley, plus our action movies draft. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You can bet anything this time of year. You're talking about college basketball. We're talking about the NBA. Baseball right around the corner as well if you want to get some futures bets in there. But MyBookie.ag offers more than just that. You can go to the casino. And you don't even have to wear pants. That's right. Get out the laptop or your phone, and with MyBookie.ag, you can play slots, table games, Texas Hold'em with real in-the-flesh dealers on the poker, blackjack, baccarat, roulette tables. It's really awesome. And on top of that, MyBookie.ag has so many bonuses to give you a little extra cash. Click on bonuses to see all the great ways to turn your deposit into bonus cash, whether it's just entering the promo code BET975 or referring a friend. You get a little more.
Turn your space into your casino with mybookie.ag. Use promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. To Gallant and George and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Let's do our best action movies draft. We're just going to take one pick again. We'll kind of just keep in the same order, but we'll move up a spot. So, Sean, you get to kick us
I'm
off.
On the clock? I have the first pick?
I feel like I know where this is going.
You do?
Best action movie? Like you just told us. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's not a sequel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's easy. Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Fast Five, best action movie of all time.
I figured that was going to be.
Yeah.
Was it actually going to be until I said that? Did I just give you a good pick?
No, I thought about it, but I was debating like whether I should pick it or not. Because I'd already mentioned it, I was like, did I step on it a little bit? But yeah, Fast Five. Come on.
I'm going to go. It has the greatest speech of all time from a president.
Oh, this is a good one.
I'm going to take Independence Day.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Oh, Paul seems like he does not agree with this show.
Wow. I mean, it's too American for Paul. It's too patriotic. You know.
You guys are both traitors to the city you live in.
Because Houston does get blown up in that movie.
That president who gives that great speech, he had nuked Houston. He nuked Houston.
That's a fair point.
P-O-S. Nope, you're both complicit too. You're complicit too.
But at least I'm not from here. He is.
Should. Yeah. And honestly, because Houston never gets put in movies. Like, Houston is the biggest movie city in America that no movies take place
in. What other movies are in Houston besides when it gets nuked in Independence Day?
Yeah. And so that's all we got. Hey, we're here.
So much
talking. That's all we've got.
Talky, talky, talky. You both want to nuke Houston.
No, we don't.
Yeah, you do.
No.
You watch your favorite action
less
movie.
Less traffic.
Okay. Paul, what's your favorite movie? Does anything bad happen to anyone in that movie?
A lot of bad things happen to people in that movie.
Okay.
So I'm between two, and they both involve Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm having a difficult time around.
Are you going back-to-back Arnolds?
Dude, Arnold is my favorite. I will watch anything that
was
Arnold
the best
was
Super Bowl commercial.
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so everyone loves Predator. Everyone loves Predator.
Fact.
I should just say Predator. But there's an Arnold action movie that I like a little bit better than Predator because it's super campy and it's just one-liner after one-liner after one-liner the entire movie. And number one for me, it's Commando. Have you seen Commando?
I don't think I've seen Commando.
I've not seen Commando.
Commando is amazing. His name is John Matrix.
Okay.
Nice. Also, The Matrix could have been picked in the
That's
draft.
True.
That would have been a good one. Remember, Sully, when I promised to kill you last? That's right, Matrix, you did. I lied. And then he drops him off a cliff. Like, it's just one-liner after one-liner after one-liner. But Predator, I'm sure that the comments section is saying that I should have picked that one. Commando is just a far more enjoyable movie for me because of how goofy it is. Predator still rules, and I watch that movie usually once a year.
I was thinking about Fight Club.
I thought about Die Hard.
Die Hard's good.
Die Hard's a Christmas movie, though, so we're not too
Oh, yeah. Wrong list. Sorry.
wrong draft, Sean. Come on. Get it together. Okay, so the text line and the Twitchers are educating us on what has been filmed in Houston.
Oh, I know. Urban Cowboy.
Urban Cowboy.
RoboCop 2.
RoboCop 2, yeah.
Was filmed here.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've only seen RoboCop 1.
But was it based in... But
no,
was it,
no, it takes place in Detroit, but it was
okay,
filmed
yeah.
in
Houston. So that's the thing. Like, it's like... Batman is in Chicago every single time, but it's really Gotham. Like, you know, the Dark Knight.
What's like a hybrid Chicago, New York City?
Yeah, and honestly, what's the difference?
Okay, that's the lamest thing I do whenever I go back home. And like the first time I took my wife to Chicago, like, you know, when they flipped the semi, we walked right by. And I'm like, that's where they flipped the semi, right there.
What did she say to that?
She's like, okay.
Cool. Glad I have a son with this guy.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Something called Crazy Heart was based on Houston. I've never seen that.
Isn't that with
compare these Jeff movies Daniels? Compare these movies though to the movies that take place in New York, LA, Chicago.
Yeah.
like we're talking about Crazy Horse.
Like, even like It's not even like a Houston versus Dallas thing, because like nothing's really based in Dallas either.
No.
Debbie
does Dallas.
Based in Miami.
Miami's a big one.
I've never seen it. What's that about?
Boston's a big one, of way overrepresented.
Well, Boston.
Seattle has sleepless in Seattle.
Because it's like all the crime happens in Boston.
It's a crime infested city.
Yeah, you better put that down.
Dirty people.
Yeah.
That's the Irish people, supposedly. Yeah. Or the Italians.
They got any of those?
What's the bank robbing movie with Ben Affleck?
The Town.
That could have been a good actor movie.
That's the most authentic Boston movie. Yeah, but there's a couple of too many slow parts. Like, can we get rid of the love affair with the bank teller? Get out of here.
It's not necessary.
It's not necessary at all.
It kind of just ruined the vibe of the movie at times.
Oh, speaking of bank robbing, Heat. Heat's a good one, too.
Oh, Heat. You know what?
We could have done like 5 picks of these.
Oh, yeah. We just did one.
We could have done an entire show.
Yeah, maybe we should have.
Action movie. Forget action sports. Movie. Action movie. Hell
yeah. We're going to do sci-fi.
Best sci-fi movie.
This is... So the problem is that...
So can do Predator.
This one's...
Yeah, see, I feel like once it's picked, it's off the board.
Fast 9. Do they go to space?
When does Fast 11 come out?
I don't think a date TBD. I don't know if there's a date to it.
You gotta... I mean, this is going to be the movie where the dinosaurs show up. That's all we need.
That's what we need.
Or the cars turn into Transformers.
Mm. What was the...
Oh, April 4th, 2025.
You know they're doing a Transformers G.I. Joe mix?
No.
Yeah. Wow. Like the last Transformers movies, like the end, like they introduced the G.I. Joes to it. Because apparently that was a thing when we were growing up. I forgot about that.
There was a G.I. Joe Transformers
crossover. They crossed over at one point.
I did not know that. I know the cartoons were on at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm more familiar with the dubbed PSAs from G.I. Joe than I am with the actual television series G.I. Joe.
I don't know what you're referencing.
I also don't know. All I know, what I know Transformers for is Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf.
Fact.
It's the only Transformers I recognize.
All right. I pulled up the wrong day rundown for a second here, and it's like, that's not what we're talking about next. We asked the question earlier. Is Framber Valdez the biggest question mark, or the player that stops the Astros from getting back to the World Series in 2024? If your answer isn't Framber, who is it? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.